to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. Thank you for being here today, because you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here today with us. And today, my special guest is none other than Nicole Scherr. And she's going to talk a little bit about what she does, but I'm excited to talk about it because we're going to be talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. The real equity. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Okay. So thank you for being here.
Well, I am really excited about being here because I think there's so much change that needs to happen in our workplace.
Yes.
And talking about job loss in a way around diversity, equity, mm-hmm. I like to say accessibility and belonging. And I'll explain why I like to take inclusion out if you'd like me to.
Oh, yes. By all means. I'm a lifelong learner, and I love that. Yes, let's go. So tell us about what you do, and then let's get into that, right? And okay. Jump in.
So what I do is I'm really a belonging expert, which means I study a couple of things. I study diversity through an accessibility lens. Accessibility isn't always disability, but it can also include women's health, which is menstruation, maternity, and menopause. And we don't address that enough in the workplace. I also study how people learn their personality and learn how to belong in community. Okay. So if you're not knowing how to connect and communicate in community, you're gonna have conflict. So how do you resolve that conflict? So this is really a conflict resolution modality so you can have the belonging you desire in your workplace, in your romantic relationships, in your partnerships, but I mostly focus on the workplace. So I'm more of a consultant for the workplace, but I do have trainings for individual people so they can understand how they can navigate the world better.
Right. And I know belonging is a great, you know, piece of who we are as humans. We need to belong. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me how this fits in with diversity.
So I'm going to first go back to inclusion. Why I don't like the word inclusion.
Okay.
So, because I really want to hit that. Okay. I think so. It's like when you're playing sports and they go, I'm going to pick you. Oh, okay. You're included. Yeah. That's why I don't like it. I like belonging because when you're belonging, you're like, oh, I feel welcomed. I feel welcome. There was no, I'm the last choice or I have to choose you because your idea.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why I don't like that. The other reason I add accessibility in is because a lot of times when we leave out accessibility, we're really leaving out, like I just talked about, menstruation, maternity, menopause. Mm-hmm. The hardest hit population around unemployment are people with, well, people with disabilities have a 2 times higher unemployment. That's according to the CDC. And mm-hmm. the highest hit population are Black men. So yes. if you're leaving out accessibility, you're really struggling with really handling that, the diversity around race.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really important to start looking at accessibility. Now, accessibility usually falls under the category of disability, but however, it can fall under other categories, and it really has to do with safety in the workplace.
Right.
Okay. So, because if you don't have a safe workplace, it's right. not accessible. And that then goes into equity, which there's a difference between equal and equity.
Yes.
And so if we really want to hear we really want to hear about equal, you can never be equal. A man can never be equal with a woman over menstruation or maternity or menopause. I mean, right. we can try with menstruation, but I don't think they're going to want to do that.
I don't think it's going to work. And they're not going to like yeah. it. You're yeah. right.
So what can we do to provide equity? Why don't we have menstruation days? Why do women have to use their sick days? Or why do they have to say, I have to call in sick because I am so, you know, bent uh-huh. over. Well, and people go, well, that's not fair. Well, or they're going to take advantage of it. Most women are not going to take advantage of it. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you talk to most women, they're going to use it when they absolutely need
have to. Yeah.
Women.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to ask you something. Did your mama teach you to be resilient?
Absolutely.
So why would we take advantage of that? If we need it, why not give it to us?
Yes. That's good. So what would you call it now? So what would you call it? Diversity, equity, and how would you put it now?
DEAB, diversity, equity, accessibility, and belonging.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I'm writing that down. I love
because,
it.
Because, you know, when I'm with you right now, I don't want to include you. I want to belong with you.
Right. Exactly. Awesome. Exactly. That's so good. That's so, so, so good. So now talk about thy diversity part.
So diversity is the diversity really has to do with bringing, so accessibility can fall under the disability can fall under diversity, but it's really become a place of people using it under race, under gender, under LGBTQ. And really what diverse, we're all diverse people. However, mm-hmm. this was given to help people who are not given the same equal opportunity based on judgments.
Okay.
And it's also based on your talents, because when you have a diverse population and create that belonging environment, you know right. what you're going to have? More inventions.
Right. Absolutely.
More
absolutely.
Problem solving, more creativity, you are going to learn from each other. I got to tell you, if you're only hanging out with one particular race, you're boring. You're not going to learn anything.
No. I did that. I was always saying that when I wanted to go to church, I want to have every nation in the room. Yeah. I did. I was like, I want to see the whole nation in the room. I don't want to be the, you know, because, and I know you know this from your studies, being the only Black woman in the room is not a comfortable feeling. It's just not. And being around the same people, same race, you're not getting the fullness of, you know, what you could get if you were in different places. I know just traveling gives that to me, you know, gives that like, oh yeah, this is, you know, you learn new things. You learn about cultures. You learn about, you know, even things, the way we handle things.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I went to China one time and, one of my students was walking around, his sneakers looked a little raggedy. I was like, why are you still wearing those sneakers? Go buy some more. He said, why? I only have 2 feet. These are fine until my toe comes through it. Now, talking to somebody from New York, I got like 4 or 5 pairs. Like, what are you talking about? And it made me more conscious. He's right. And I became a minimalist right then and there. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, don't need all that stuff. You know, and he's right. He was right. So it gives you that, you know, that belonging because you understand.
Yeah. Because you're listening. You're listening to that person. It's like eating the same food. Why would you want to eat the same food every day?
Girl, bye. I know you're right.
I mean, and I got to tell you, so I don't fully understand, but my town is not a very big Jewish town.
Yeah.
I found out my family hid that they were Jewish.
Yes.
And so what happened was, is I don't really get the Jewish experience because there's not a lot of Jews around here.
Right.
And it can make it really challenging.
It can.
So I've talked to people. I actually was talking to a woman, and she was from a small town here, and she was Black, and or she is Black. And I said to her, I said, how's it going there? She came from Florida. She goes, it's going good. I said, no, be honest with me. We talked a little bit, and she says, I don't want to be the token Black person here.
No, it's not fun.
And I said, I knew it. I was like, I'm trying to create a safe place so you can actually speak it out, because
it's not
you
fun.
Need to be able to speak it out.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No, it's not fun at all.
In the workplace, it's challenging, very challenging to be that one, you know. And I know when you're talking, and this is, I want to get to this because you said something pre-show that I really love, the difference between race, you know, what it means to have race. Because I was always challenging the job that I was on. I was like, do you understand what race is different, you know, from being African-American? You understand that, right? They're like, what? Mm-hmm. They were like, what? I said, yeah, you understand that. I just want you to know. They couldn't understand. No, that's not true. I was like, oh. I didn't answer them, but I was like, oh. So explain what race really is.
Race is your identity. Race is where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is different.
Yeah.
So for example, I'm in Oregon. I have a whole different culture in the
Pacific
Northwest.
Yes, whole different culture. Yeah.
Than mm-hmm. you have in New York.
Yeah.
Trust me. If you've been to the Pacific Northwest in New York, you're going to know that cultures are completely different.
Completely different. So it's completely different.
Culture is different. Yeah. And another thing, not all Black people come from Africa. There are people
that come from Germany.
And so, you know, you have to, it's understanding culture is going to be different with each person. However, you can have a basic understanding with mm-hmm. race and culture what that person is needing in accessibility if you look at the research.
Right.
Because we have patterns, and we have societal patterns based on our generation.
Yes, our group, absolutely.
Based on our race and based on our culture. And if you can learn those patterns, you can have a base understanding of where people are coming from and have compassion and be trauma informed.
And I think that's what's really missing, first of all, from the training that has to do with DEI. I think that piece that you just announced to the world is missing, because they lump everything together. And again, it's like, I was thinking when you were saying this about, you know, belonging and accessibility, and me not wanting to be the only Black person, it is like affirmative action. Okay, I have to pick you because this rule is there. You know, I have to pick you. And it's not to say you're not going to have a great experience. You're just not.
Well, so that's why I developed this training, because I saw that. I can't tell you how I've sat in rooms where they said, I'm a Black woman here. I've come to change the dynamics. They knew, and they hired me, and they won't listen to me.
Yeah. I was one of those.
Yep.
I know.
How many times have you heard the white women and the Black women are divided?
Yes.
And the white women are standing, or even the division, because people don't understand. They're not trauma informed.
Yes.
So I really sat down, and when I wrote this program, I said, how can I do this in a way that's the most honoring to everyone?
Yeah.
So that we can create success, because HR doesn't know how to deal with this.
No.
So
they have a checklist.
And this can give you the checklist on a basic level. I mean, again, it's not 100% accurate, because people are people. They're different. Yes. But it'll give you the outline. And you can build off that outline. Mm-hmm. And it will create more success for companies. It helps with retention, innovation. And that's one of the reasons why when I contacted the APA consulting division, I said, Your diversity is sucking if you're missing out on accessibility. And they had me, I negotiated with them to write this program so that we can start getting this out to companies so we can help their success. So we don't hear more stories like yours and other people that they're not getting their accessibility needs met. They're feeling like the token person. Mm-hmm. You now know how to work because as women, we have, we in a lot of ways have more struggles because of the three M's that I mentioned. Right.
Sure. No, I understand. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this, is I worked through the George Floyd thing. So they couldn't understand that I thought of that, that could be my friend's kid, that could be my nephew. And it impacted me. I would not watch the news because every time I did, and I'm getting chills now, I would bawl. I would completely cry. Like, and it just bought like, and I didn't live through an era where, you know, I saw, you know, I think I heard the N word, like when I first came around all blacks. Cause I was, when I came from Alabama to New York, I was in an all white Jewish area, culture shock. I got braids, the only braids everybody ever knew. And everybody was touching my hair. They were like, look, touching my skin. It was this whole shock to people. But then the N word, I never heard until I came around I went to an all black school. I was like, they were like, are you black? Cause they had to ask. Cause like, I think I am. They were like, how come you haven't heard that word? I said, I never heard it, you know? And I came from Alabama. So I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. I didn't see a lot of things. And maybe because I was young, but I still didn't hear it as I was growing up. I didn't hear it. You know, and I was kind of taken aback, you know, by that. But just having those things are really, you know, monumental to me. But the job, when this was happening, could not understand why I was sick. Mm. Kidding me?
I am so sorry. And a lot of people did not understand. Mm-hmm. That's very traumatic, especially with the systematic racism.
Yes.
When you have to deal with any sort of system of oppression, whether it's as a woman, whether it's as a disability, whether it's as racism, when you see those things, it impacts you.
Yeah, it does.
And it's scary, and you wonder about your community.
Yeah.
And we don't take time in the work. Well, we got to get the work done.
Yes. That's how it was. You know, got to get the work done.
Don't have a company because you have to have room for people to have lives and mourn. And that's why you have a company. And when you're more compassionate and you have people process and work through that, they're going to be more loyal.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to come back stronger and better.
Yes.
And so, I am so sorry that,
And I had said, you know, 50% of our staff were Black and Latino. I said, hey, you know, what's missing in this piece here, because, you know, the executive director said, this is not our fight. I said, are you kidding? Are you looking around the Zoom? Are you just like really paying attention? Everybody felt it. And it was like, if there was just that piece of, okay, we're going to make space for you all to process this. We're going to have professional come in on the Zoom and you all can process this and feel this. None of that. So we had to keep trudging along. And I was working in an organization where, you know, I was able to talk to the clients and all of them felt it. So they were, first thing they get on the phone, you know, I'm helping them find a place to live. They're like, did you see the George Floyd thing? And I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I'm like trying to choke back tears, trying to help them. And it was just a hard process when it just took one little small act of kindness to say, I may not understand where you are, but here is what we can do. You know, just a piece of that, you know, change in that area.
So when I went to the Jewish Museum in DC, I walked through that.
Uh-huh.
And I got to this place and I started wailing.
Yeah.
I could not.
I feel you have done that. Yes.
I watched all these people walk around.
Yeah.
And have nothing. And I said, how can you do this?
Yes.
I've been to the Civil Rights Museum. I've been to where Dr. King was.
Yeah, I've been there. And I was crying. I was crying the whole time. I could feel it, right?
You could feel it.
Like,
you could feel it.
I'm choking up and I'm crying. Like, how could you just like walk around? Like, it's normal. It's not.
And these are the things that when we take away the time to process that, we're taking away our humanity.
Yes.
And then you're taking away the humanity of the business. Mm-hmm. You're also taking away the humanity of the business. And what makes the business really thrive is that humanity piece.
That's right.
Because that humanity piece is what's connecting you to your consumers.
And that's very important. I don't care if you're in Fortune 500, if you're your corporate world, if you're a nonprofit, if you're a small business, I don't care. That humanity piece has to stay intact. Why do you think barbershops are around forever? There's that humanity piece there. They're in there talking about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I remember the Civil Rights Museum and being in that room and looking at that room. Yes. And a woman was standing next to me and she ran out bawling.
Yeah.
And I was
crying the whole time. I was crying the whole time.
I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I've taken some opportunities because I grew up in the Pacific Northwest to go visit the South to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't grow up with that. My uncle was
me too. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My uncle was half Black, half Japanese, and he would bring home Trailblazers. And so my experience, I actually have a funny story about this. My mom was playing Here Comes the Bride and she couldn't see which what over the Trailblazers.
Right.
And so she played for the wrong aunt, and all of a sudden she saw the you know, shoulders going up and down. So, I mean, my idea of culture was completely a little different. And so yes. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't think we take enough time to understand what it's like to be in that other person's shoes. I've been to Atlanta, Georgia, there's a museum called the Human Rights Museum.
Yeah. I've been there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Really recommend people go there.
Yeah, they have to go there because that kind of changed everything for me. Like I didn't grow up in that era. Yeah. I saw it on television when I got older, you know, and I'm like, you know, and I absorbed myself into it. But I was like, I made sure that I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go. But when I went, I was so emotional. I was like, ooh, this is heavy. You know, even when I went to Greece, when I went to Italy and I went into one of those I don't know what it's called, but it's the big thing that where they had the jousting and everything.
Oh,
I was in tears. I was like, don't you feel that?
Yeah.
It's like heavy. It's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy. And the humanity part, you know, I'm glad I feel that way. I will tell you, as we're talking about diversity, equity, accessibility, and belonging, another portion of it is to be able to be, you know, if you're not, be open. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't understand, because I had a manager that said, well, I'm an entitled white man. And that was his excuse not to understand.
Ooh, okay. So I don't understand that.
But that was his statement every time I tried to, you know, as I'm processing all of these things that are going on. And then, and I know in your position too, you advocate for change. So I'm advocating for change on housing bills and housing legislation. And I'm saying this piece doesn't belong there because this kind of gives you some dissected information. So I was arguing a question that was being asked of a person who would call in and ask, you know, hey, I'm looking for housing. So they would put them on with somebody that kind of gives them, I forgot what it's called, but like they ask them questions, right? So one question was, well, two questions. One was, have you ever gone to prison?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's, have you ever gone to jail? Well, if someone's in the street coming home from jail,
mm-hmm.
And or just living in the streets, do you think they would answer those questions? Probably not. They would probably tell you a lie. And if they answer the question, they would probably be X'd out. So what are you trying to prove with those two questions?
Well, we also have to understand how our jails are set up. They're set up, history shows.
Yes.
And it impacts workplace. History shows that if you didn't look right, whether it was disability or color, you'd get picked up and thrown in jail.
Right, exactly.
That's what history shows. I actually wrote the history of disability. Mm-hmm. And the people that have been tormented the most are people of color and people with disabilities, because they could sterilize you also.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a commonality here. And this is a commonality why we also need to bond in this.
Yes.
Because enough, you cannot. So that system has not really changed in training our police. Our police are not trauma informed. No. And I recently saw something of them going after a deaf black man because the black man didn't know how to respond. Well, he's deaf. Hello.
Right. Exactly.
And so there's a great show out there. I think it was called Trial 4. It was on Netflix for a while. And I think his name is Sean Ellis.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, fabulous. Because it proves the point that, so he was a young man buying diapers, a young black man, and he had a stutter. The white officers were doing criminal activities, murdered their buddy, and tried to blame it on him. This was in Massachusetts.
Wow.
And he now is a public speaker, and it took him 22 years to get the conviction. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see the movie, but I've read the story. Yeah.
Amazing. And what people don't understand is that's an accessibility thing.
Yeah.
The police officer saw him weak because of that stutter.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons they picked on him, young and had a stutter. And when we understand the thing around disabilities, and you understand these layers of systems that we have to go against,
right,
it really is impactful to understand how people have to fight twice as hard or fight against being picked on.
Right. And I think it's more than bullying. I think it's more targeted.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about, it's targeted. You know, what do you think about people or jobs, you know, choosing disabled or those developmental, I want to say the right term, but with disabilities, and then treat them very badly? What do you think about that? Like,
well, I think a lot of it is lack of training.
Okay.
First of all, I think the second thing is perception. We are not trained in our society how to be around people with disabilities.
Oh, that's good.
So I had a neighbor.
That's good.
And he had a visible disability. So there's a difference between visible and invisible. This also plays a factor.
Right.
Visible disability. And he would not engage really with any of us. Well, I got the neighbor kids to give him stickers. And by the time I was done, he was trying to look at my phone and including himself in to want to know what was going on with the pictures on my phone. Before that, he wouldn't include himself. He was he'd isolate himself because he wasn't included. Right. So a lot of it is, and I wanted the children to learn what it was like to be around someone with a visible disability. I was very fortunate. My aunt had a visible disability. I have an invisible disability.
Right.
So a lot of it is lack of training to understand how to work with people.
Right.
I talked on a podcast with an autistic man. He says, I can't work with people. I said, no, it's a combo. People don't know how to work with us a lot of times.
Right.
The lack of training. And so you have places out there like Voc Rehab and these job coaches and these, but they don't understand because a lot of times they're not bringing in the gender piece. They're not in the race and culture piece.
Yes, so that, absolutely.
The other reason why I wrote this is because there's a lot of limitations.
And
if you go back to the broader aspect of understanding invisible versus visible, that also plays a factor because you're going to understand the traumas that people are going through.
Yeah. And I don't think they want to take the time to do that. But again, it's hard to build something or change, you know, like what you're doing, if it's built on something that's totally like a lie, like it just totally. How do you fix that? Like, how do you fix an organization that's, you know, do you start from the beginning? You can't train people that don't want to understand, but doing it because they have to do it. And you can't change that. How do you change somebody's?
So this is where it is. We have to look, we have to work, we have to change the word change. We have to know how people process the information. Second is we have to know willing. Third, you have to show the benefits or show why this is the best. So when you start to figure out people's language, you're able to say, this is why you need to do this. Right. I talked with a gentleman once and he goes, I don't want to change. That's why I don't go to counseling. I said, what if it's not about change? What if it's about embracing your talents the way you're designed to, and you're finding balance in your talents? And he goes, I like that. I could do that. So it's making it palatable. So people are seeing we're all about ourselves. I'm going to tell you that right now. If it's not going to create a benefit for me or it's not going to be the best for me, I'm not going to do it. I don't want it. And if my brain already says that people with disabilities are bad or stupid or less than, I'm going to. But if I can be shown how much I can make more money off, more money, more profit, it's going to be better. And it's going to, and it's not going to take me as much time. I just have to learn these basic patterns that there's resources out there that can help me. Oh man. Yeah. And then those who aren't still willing, those aren't the ones you work with. You go to the ones that are willing, because there's plenty out there who go, I really want to have the most successful business. And I want to hire the most talented people. And sometimes the most talented people are people of color, women, and people with disabilities. And I can tell you why, because we've had to learn a system. We've had to learn how to work, work with us. So we have to learn a way around it. That's why we're inventing.
That makes sense. So we're removing the word change and we're putting what word?
Balance.
Balance. Like it.
Learning how you process information, how you connect, how you communicate. Because when you're balanced and you have this way of understanding how the world works, we all process information differently. Now there's patterns to it. It's just like trees. Trees all need water. Their roots go into the ground. They all have that same pattern. However, if we learn those patterns, we learn how to be balanced in our patterns. Right. And it doesn't matter if the person's from, they're gonna still exhibit these patterns. It's just gonna be processed maybe a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's every person with a disability has these same patterns as well. So if you learn these patterns, easy to communicate, easy to resolve conflicts. Culture changes it just a tad bit. Gender changes it just a tad bit, but there's still the same patterns of interpretation. Just like as a tree is still a tree, it just has changed where the trees can be planted based on the sunlight, water, all those kinds of things. They still have the same patterns.
Awesome. So with that note, I know that I am changing balance and I'm changing the word change to balance and DEI to diversity, equity, accessibility, and belonging. Yeah. And we want to thank you for that, Nicole. Thank you for that. It really, I have something new to add to my repertoire.
I love it. Thank you so much
for being here. Audience, you know who I am. I'm Edna White, your host, and my esteemed guest, Nicole Scher. And you'll see her around soon. But thank you for being here. This brings us to the end of the show. Bye for now.
Bye. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke DeVard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well, because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.